Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Now here are portraits then of two great servants, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Two humble men, totally devoted to Christ, serving in the interests of others. Follow their example.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Are you looking to grow in your spiritual walk in very practical ways? Today on The Verdict, we're taking a look at the portraits of two real-life servants of Christ described in the book of Philippians. We'll discover the value and impact of selfless service and be inspired to live out our faith with purpose. Now, to get us started, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson.
Today we're dealing with the subject of spiritual mentoring. The term mentoring has become quite a buzzword. We saw last time the importance of having mentors in our lives who can help us as we walk the Christian life. Then we can mentor someone who is younger in the faith than we are. I praise God for those who mentored me, and I've had the joy over the years of mentoring many men. In our passage, we have portraits of two servants of God, two flesh and blood examples of what it means to serve Christ and others. Paul has already presented the supreme example of Jesus Christ. Also, Paul himself is a worthy example. But now he gives us the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Let's learn more from their examples of faithful service.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, and learn some basic lessons as we study the portraits of two servants, two good men whose faith we want to follow and to imitate. Philippians 2 then, verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus, says Paul, to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, in order that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Amen. First of all, in verses 19 through 24, the example of Timothy. Timothy, a model of always being available to serve Christ. We could summarize what Paul is saying in these verses by saying that Timothy provides a live example, a model of always being available to serve Christ. Four things about Timothy. First of all, he was a good follower. We see that in verses 19 and 23. Paul says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly. Verse 23, therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. Timothy was a good follower and in turn was going to be a good leader. Number one, he was a good follower. Secondly, he was a kindred spirit. I'm reading from the New American Standard in verse 20. For I have no one else, says Paul, of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. If you are going to grow spiritually and maturely, you need around you men and women who are kindred spirits. Timothy was not only a good follower, he was a kindred spirit. The third one is this, he was a concerned Christian. The end of verse 20, he will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Paul knew that Timothy would be genuinely concerned for his welfare and for the welfare of the Philippians. Timothy was the kind of individual who was not self-absorbed, not self-focused, not constantly looking for his own needs to be met. He's concerned for the welfare of Paul. What a commendation. Now, this is a tough one for us, but let me ask you, do you have a concern for others? Do you really love serving others? Or are you blind to the spiritual, to the material needs of those around you, even in this congregation, to say nothing of the greater community? Perhaps too wrapped up in yourself. You say, John, I've got my own problems. I know that. We all have our own problems. Paul certainly did. He's in imprisonment. Timothy did as well. He had some health problems. He was a kind of timid individual. He had his problems, but he was a concerned Christian, reaching out to others in practical ways with the love of Christ. Be committed to the well-being of others. Here's the fourth one. He was a tested servant, verse 22. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. His proven worth. He has proved himself. He had been tested in various circumstances of life. He was seasoned. He wasn't a novice. He had served Paul well in the furtherance of the gospel. What a model to follow. A proven track record of dedicated service to the Lord. Easy to start the race, isn't it? But to finish well is more difficult. You weary, discouraged? Learn from Timothy. He persevered and was totally available to the Lord in this divine service. Be available to serve Christ. Often we want to serve on our own terms rather than where we are needed. Be open to whatever God has for you. Perhaps as God is going to lead you in a ministry that you've never even thought about. Have an open mind. Be open to the Spirit. Be open to the input from others. Serve Christ faithfully, diligently, and with perseverance. Don't give up. Keep serving. Timothy then is a worthy model. Number one, he's a good follower. Number two, he's a kindred spirit. Number three, he's a concerned Christian. Number four, he's a tested servant. An example, a model of always being available to be used for the Lord. Now Epaphroditus in verses 25 through 30. Epaphroditus is a model as well, an example. He's a model of always being prepared to risk your life for Christ. Do you get that? A model of always being prepared to risk his life for Christ. And in verse 25, Paul gives a fivefold description of Epaphroditus. Number one, he says, verse 25, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. He first describes him as my brother. Paul, the great apostle, uses this warm term of brother. That's not something we use just when we can't remember the person's name. We sometimes do that, brother, we forget their name. Paul knows Epaphroditus' name. He means it. He loves to praise. He loves to encourage others. Earlier in the chapter, he had described the Philippians as children of God. Those who are saved by the grace of God, like us, are born again into the family of God. Epaphroditus and Paul are very different, but they are brothers in Christ. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there is to be a warm and genuine, can I emphasize genuine, not just some cultural expression of emotionalism, but a genuine love for each other, an absence of a judgmental and critical attitude. We are to affirm and love one another, appreciate one another, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Secondly, says Paul, fellow worker. Again, verse 25, Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker. He says in verse 30 that Epaphroditus came close to death for the work of Christ. Work. See, ministry is hard work, isn't it? I always tell people there who talk to me about possibly going into full-time ministry, I said, if you want an easy life, don't do that. Ministry is hard. It's tough. It's hard work. In verse 16, Paul talks about toiling. I didn't run in vain nor toil in vain. Epaphroditus was a fellow worker, a fellow toiler with Paul. Now, we don't read of Epaphroditus being a great preacher or a leader or a Bible teacher. His ministry may have been to care for Paul personally. Perhaps he made food for Paul. Perhaps he washed his clothes. Perhaps he cut his hair, although I do think Paul was bald, but that's just my thought. But he ministered to his personal needs, perhaps. He encouraged him. He read to him. He prayed with him. He was there to carry out the wishes of this great man in a practical way. What an encouragement to Paul. Others were out there criticizing him. Here is a man who risks his life. He is a fellow worker. What a tremendous example to all of us of humble service. As people come to church, I found that there's a number of people who are quite happy to come and go in a non-involved capacity. Yesterday, when I was teaching the new members class, I emphasized that while we use the word membership, the more biblical word is fellowship, koinonia. That being part of the family of church is that you are now in a vital, dynamic, and we trust, growing ministry. There is a sharing, there is a contribution to the body. One of the highest privileges that we can have is to be a member of a local church. But with that privilege comes the responsibility that we are all here to be involved in the ministry. We're all here to work, not just to observe, certainly not to be a critic. It's amazing how in ministry, some people who are uninvolved, the first thing that they don't like, they complain. Never say a word of encouragement, not involved, but only a critic. Don't be like that. Epaphroditus wasn't that. He was a faithful worker. We have as one of our themes for this year, serving with gladness, coming from Psalm 100. Serving with gladness. That was Epaphroditus. The third thing is, not only is he a brother, fellow worker, says Paul, verse 25, he is a fellow soldier. Paul, of course, was an outstanding soldier for Christ. He was in a battle against the forces of darkness and the power of wickedness, as he describes in Ephesians 6. He tells us to put on the armor of God. In 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul tells Timothy to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Here is Paul imprisoned, facing possible death. Epaphroditus is at his side as a fellow soldier. Not one who's going to desert in the heat of battle. Easy to quit, isn't it? Particularly when things get tough. Are you prepared to serve the Lord? Not only when it's easy, not only when you're being praised by people, but to continue as a fellow soldier. Epaphroditus was one of these few good men, a fellow soldier. Next, says Paul, he is your messenger. He's called a messenger. This is the word apostle, which has as its basic idea, one who is sent. Epaphroditus was sent from the church at Philippi to go to Rome to minister to Paul. He was on a missions trip as a messenger, as one sent, an apostle in that sense, a missionary from the church. Not an apostle in the technical sense like Paul, of one who had seen the risen Christ and who could perform miracles, but one who is sent by the church at Philippi as they're so concerned for the apostle to minister to Paul in his need and to give Paul a gift from the church. Chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. But during the trip, as sometimes happens on missions trips, Epaphroditus fell very sick. We see in verses 26 and 27. In fact, verse 27, he was sick to the point of death, close to death. Such was this man's dedication to the cause of Christ that he risked his life in making this missions trip from Philippi to Rome. Remember, this is the first century. He didn't go in a jumbo jet, right? He's prepared to die if that was God's will for him. Word of his illness had obviously reached Philippi, and Epaphroditus, no doubt also homesick for Philippi, as we read, was distressed that the Philippians would be very upset when they heard of his illness. He is a faithful messenger. Incidentally, note that Paul didn't heal him. And the sickness which Epaphroditus had was not because of his lack of faith, as we're sometimes told by some false teachers today. Have you risked anything for Christ? Is your ministry costly? Or do you just serve God when it's convenient? It's down the list, and provided it doesn't impact your time or your family, your sports, your recreation, whatever it is, then you serve God. Would you be prepared? Would I be prepared to risk my life for the work of Christ? Paul now uses one final word to describe Epaphroditus, and it is the word minister. Epaphroditus is also a minister. This is a word from which we get our word liturgy. Liturgos is the Greek word. This word was used in the LXX, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, to refer to the Levitical worship at the altar, a priestly ministry. The NIV says, whom you sent to take care of my needs. The King James says, ministered to my wants. By using this word, Paul is conveying that the ministry of Epaphroditus, although a very practical one, was very significant and was in fact an act of worship. It was deeply spiritual. Sometimes people will think, well, Pastor, you're a minister. You preach the word of God to us. There are other ministers, but I'm not a minister. I'm just an ordinary Christian. Well, we learned this morning that God uses ordinary Christians in ordinary circumstances, in ordinary places, to further his purposes. But the teaching of the New Testament, I want you to grasp this, is that every believer, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, is called to be a minister. A minister is one who serves as an act of worship to the Lord. And Epaphroditus had the privilege of taking care of Paul's needs. So when you go over Bible verses with the little children in Gopher Buddies and Awana, you are a minister. When you greet people at the door, you are a minister. This gives dignity and meaning to all that we do as we serve the Lord. Now here are portraits then of two great servants, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Two humble men, totally devoted to Christ, serving in the interests of others. Follow their example. Now as I close, I ask the question that I asked in the introduction. Do you have a spiritual mentor? Do you have a spiritual coach? Are you being discipled, whatever word you care, by a maturer Christian? Would you be interested in that? Perhaps you are, you think, maturer in the faith. Are you mentoring a younger brother, a younger sister? Not as a critic, but as a coach who comes along beside them. Not because you portray yourself as perfect, but God in his grace has led you through different circumstances in life, and now you're able to share your experience, your knowledge of the word, to encourage this individual. All of us should have a spiritual coach, a spiritual mentor, and we also should be mentoring others. The question is, what kind of example are you providing? What kind of example am I providing? I gave you an example of men in my life of whom I am so deeply thankful to this day. Part of who I am today is because of these men who coached me and prayed with me and encouraged me and also admonished me. I spent a few days, Monday through Wednesday this week, in the home of a couple that were part of our church in Michigan. He's now on the faculty there in Missouri at the university. And as I spoke with them, and I told Goodney this when I came home, it was such an encouragement to me to think, here is a young couple. They started coming to the church in Michigan with very little knowledge of the scripture. In fact, the young woman said that she may well have come to Christ as she heard the preaching of the word of God. He was a nominal Christian, and he started growing. How teachable they were. And now here they are a few years later, in their mid to late 30s, with an 8-year-old daughter, a 5-year-old daughter, teaching them the word of God, teaching a Sunday school, having a tremendous impact in that community with students and in the local church. Why? Because they were teachable, because they were committed to the Word of God, and because they allowed those who were maturer in their faith to speak God's truth to them, to admonish them and to help them. And now they are a tremendous blessing to others. That's our goal for all of us, isn't it? We praise God, of course, for the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. And the Christian life, of course, begins not by trying to imitate Christ. We can never do that by ourselves. It begins as we receive Christ, as we received his forgiveness, and the living Christ indwells us, so that the life that we live is not our life, but Christ living in us. No, we don't serve Christ in order to get into heaven, but because we have received the forgiveness of sins, we want to demonstrate our love for Christ and our thankfulness to God by serving him faithfully, diligently, and with perseverance. Be a Timothy. Be always available to serve the Lord wherever you are needed and wherever. Maybe in Charlotte, or God might lead you halfway around the world, or he may lead you across the street. He may lead you to teach children here, or seniors, or to serve the homeless, or to go into the prisons, or whatever it is. Would all of us be available to serve the Lord wherever we are needed, and to be in Epaphroditus, not to play it safe, but be prepared to risk our life for Christ? Here are two flesh and blood examples to us in Holy Scripture, Timothy and Epaphroditus, whose faith we should follow. Father, we thank you for these encouraging passages. These men who lived almost 2,000 years ago, and yet they're so alive because this is your living word. We can almost see them. We look forward to meeting them in eternity. But you've called us now to be like Timothy, to be like Epaphroditus. And I thank you for many at church who are like them, who are dedicated, who serve others for their love for others, for the risk that they take, for the hardship sometimes that they experience. And we pray that we all may be like that. Encourage us, Father, and help us to take the love of Christ and the truth of Christ to our communities, to our homes, our schools, our offices, our banks, wherever, and tell people of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the end of a message titled Portraits of Service. If you joined us late or you need to find an earlier message from our current study in Philippians, you can always listen online by going to theverdict.org. And on our website, you'll also see that we have a special resource available to our listeners. John has just released a brand new booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters, and you can get a copy absolutely free. As followers of Christ, we need to have a clear and biblical understanding of sin so we can appreciate why the gospel is such good news. So request your free copy of this powerful booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters today by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're on our website, we'd also like to invite you to support The Verdict's gospel outreach by contributing to our ministry with a donation of any amount. Your partnership will help us continue sharing the truth of God's Word to new audiences in your area and around the world. So if you've never contributed before, now is a great time to start. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting theverdict.org. Or send a check in the mail by writing to us at The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Would you say that you're serving Christ and others? I trust there are men and women in your life who provide examples of selfless service and whose lives are poured out for the cause of Christ. Take a moment to reflect on their impact in your spiritual life and praise God for their faithful examples. What about you? What kind of example are you providing? Don't be afraid to reach out to someone for spiritual encouragement and instruction. Leave a portrait of serving Christ and others.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.